I don't know about you, you ever come in on a Sunday morning and you think to yourself, I'm just doing well to be here today. I don't know if I can stay awake during the sermon. You ever feel like that? Imagine you're the preacher. All right. So last week we were talking about thoughts. We were talking about how God renews and transforms our thoughts. We're going through this whole series, Guard Your Hearts. So today we're going to be talking about feelings. Feelings. We all have them. They're part of our mind. They're part of our thinking. They're part of who we are as people. They're important to us. You know, all of us know what it's like to have feelings. And, you know, there's something interesting. We've been sort of listening to the work of Dallas Willard informing us as we go through. And I want to show you just a couple of his quotes as we start out this morning. Dallas writes this in his book, Renovation of the Heart. Feelings move us, and we enjoy being moved. We like to feel moved, don't we? Now, sometimes being moved by our feelings is actually a really great thing. A number of stories in the Bible talk about people who are moved by compassion. And so here a feeling prompts them, gives them energy towards something really good, really, really pleasant. But others of us know what it's like for feelings to move us, and our feelings kind of push us along towards something that we maybe shouldn't be involved in. You know, there's a song that I grew up, I think it was about high school, university, by the Canadian band Sloan. And I still want to sing, I want to turn it up loud on my radio and sing along as they come to this line, but I just know it's bad. It says this, if it feels good, do it, even if you shouldn't. Don't let anyone mess you around. You know what, that is kind of the heartbeat of a lot of our culture. If it feels good, do it, even if you shouldn't. I also grew up with a song by Sheryl Crow where she said, if it makes you happy, then why are you so sad? And a lot of times we are moved by our feelings to do things that we think make us feel happy, but the truth is there's a lot of sadness that comes from them on the other side. So how is it possible? How is it possible that our feelings could be something good, could be something that God would use, and that God would somehow transform for our benefit? So I want to show you now the next quote from Dallas Willard. And he says this is an important point for us to recognize. Feelings are, with a few exceptions, good servants. That's the key word, servants. But they are disastrous masters. See, when we are compelled by our feelings to act, without thought, without giving it any consideration, that is a disastrous position to be. There's lots of times I don't feel like I want to do something, and yet it's necessary. It's good. It's for my health. It's for my benefit. It's for whatever. And if I always listen to my feelings, if they are what guides my actions alone, it's going to be a problem. However, if they serve a greater purpose, and they compel me into good action, well, then they're helping me as a servant. So it's an important distinction for us. It's not that emotions and feelings are wrong. It's that we need to know their proper place. And we have got those in our culture, our world today, we've got those out of order or disordered. We have a disorder of our feelings. So today we're going to be talking about how do we reorder things appropriately. How do we shape our lives, our thoughts, our feelings around the Lord and what His best intentions are for us? So as we do this, let's go to the next slide here. I'll just show you this verse from 2 Peter. And it's in a larger conversation. I won't bother explaining all of the context today, but it speaks something that's true for us to understand. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And if your actions, if you are controlled by your feelings, you are a slave to them. And this is the language previous of Dallas Willard, that feelings make a terrible master. So let's not be a slave to our feelings. Let's know their appropriate place. So let's go on here, and I want to give you a little bit of a roadmap. I did this last week, a roadmap, and then we walked through some of the scriptures related to this. So let's get practical. And this first one is identical to where we started last week when we were talking about our thoughts. So a Christian needs to be, if we're going to live a new kind of life, if we're going to live a life that's renewed and restored by the cross, We're going to have a deep commitment to knowing the truth. And why is that important for our feelings? It's important because our feelings flow out of our thoughts. Our feelings flow out of our thoughts. Now, you're going to say, well, what if I stub my toe? That's not flowing out of my thoughts. Well, okay, you found like the one exception. There is a certain sense in which our bodily experience is going to produce a feeling within us. But by and large, our feelings come from our thoughts. Now, you think about it. Some of you scroll through Facebook and you see one of those kind of videos that is meant to make you cry. You start hearing the story, hearing the music, and the thoughts, the story you're being told, creates a feeling, creates meaning for you. And within 2 minutes, you can cry just like that. I'm not crying, you're crying. But we need to understand, first of all, is that if we are going to have our feelings in order, our thoughts first have to be. That's why we did thoughts first last week. Now, the meaning that we give to a situation, to a relationship, to an experience, the meaning we give to it, based on our understanding of it, will create a feeling for it. Now, if you don't believe me, try watching television in a different language. Try watching TV in a different language. When you have no idea what the ideas are being expressed, you have probably very little emotional reaction, other than what you can pick up based on sort of the tone of things and what you're seeing. But instantly, a tremendous amount of that emotional experience of the story, of the conversation, the dialogue, is just gone. So in every aspect of our lives, our thoughts first lead to our feelings. Now, this isn't just my idea. This isn't just something that Dallas Willard created. You know, as I mentioned last week, I spent several days in counseling this week, and I went over this over and over again with my counselor. The things that we think, the ideas that we hold to, the beliefs that we have, create a meaning within our minds that produces feelings within us. This is why when you see two different people experience the same situation, they can have very different emotional responses. It's because they have a different meaning for that event. So, for example, when my father died, as a Christian, as someone who believes in Christ, it was a sad occasion, of course, because I've lost my father. And yet, because I have a belief that I will see him again in heaven in the presence of Jesus, there is also for me a sense of relief that he's been freed from the difficulties of this life. And it did not weigh me down in the way that I've seen other people, my friends, sometimes mourn the loss of their father or mother. See, the ideas that we have are so important. It's so important that we have them true and right and real because they result in the meaning we place and the feelings that we have. So the first thing we're going to have to do is have a deep commitment to knowing truth. But then what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to prayerfully reflect and evaluate our feelings. So what we need to do is we need to be listening to ourselves, listening to the feelings that we have in prayer, maybe even with the help of other people around us, and say, you know, okay, here's this feeling. I'm feeling really angry, or I have this bitterness in my life, or there's something that's just burdening me. Something, you think about what that feeling is. Or even think about when do you get really excited? What gives you like a lot of energy and you feel really pumped about it? But maybe later, it's one of those things like Sheryl Crow sang about. It feels at first like it's something happy, but it turns into sadness. Think about that and ask yourself, where and when do I feel like that? What is the moment? What's the experience? Who is it that I'm relating with? What's the dynamic going on in that moment? For some of us, that's going to mean that we're going to put guardrails up around that. We're going to avoid even getting to that place, even going around with that person. We're going to start avoiding some of those situations because we don't ever want to go there again. For others of us, if it's a positive feeling that we want to cultivate even more, perhaps a sense of joy or a sense of peace, we're going to say, well, I need to spend more time with that person. I need to spend even more time doing that activity that gives me a sense of gratitude or a satisfaction or a sense of purpose. So we need to prayerfully examine and reflect, evaluate our feelings, and consider where and when we feel in those ways. But then especially when it comes to the negative ones, we need to practice spirit-empowered self-control. I'm going to speak at greater length about that because that's important, but we need to practice this. As I said last week, it's not going to come naturally at first. It's going to take some effort and some leaning in. Now, effort is not opposed to grace. God gives generously, but man, oh man, do we ever need to work and lean into what he's doing as well. But we're going to do that by leaning into the Spirit's power for self-control. And then what we're going to do is we're going to cultivate the good to crowd out the bad. A number of years ago, I had a really weed-infested lawn. Okay? It was just terrible, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I hired a guy to come, and he was telling me what he was going to do to fix my lawn, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make the grass so healthy that it crowds out the weeds. We're going to make the grass so healthy that it crowds out the weeds. So what the Spirit is going to do in our lives, what the Holy Spirit is going to do for you, as we lean into the work of the Spirit, as we focus on truth, as we practice the ways of God, the Spirit is going to cultivate and bring to life so much goodness that it crowds out the bad, and the bad slowly dies off. Okay? So this is how we transform our thoughts. This is how we renew our feelings. Let's continue on now. We're going to lean into some of the scriptures here in a moment. But first, as we're talking about truth, as we're talking about a deep commitment to truth, I want to talk about some lies that we have bought into in our world. And also, sometimes within the church. The first lie, so I've got a hot lie and a cold lie. On the hot side, the lie is, and this is predominant in our culture, our feelings must be indulged or satisfied. We have a sense in our world today that if we feel something, we need to act on it. That if we feel a desire for something, if we have desire, we should indulge it. We should satisfy. If we're hungry for a certain food, we have a craving in some aspect of our life, we indulge that craving and we satisfy it. In fact, you'll often hear in commercials today, you deserve it. You deserve it. Well, that's a lie that our feelings must be indulged or satisfied. And it's a lie because often when we lean into these desires that we have or these feelings that are negative, it produces negative results. It produces the weeds that we don't want. And so we need to examine what we've been told prayerfully and consider, is it true? And it's not true. Not every desire, not every feeling we have is real. Have you ever felt lonely or alone? But then as you sit and think, you think, what am I doing? I've got all these people around me. I just need to reach out. They love me. They care about me. Have you ever felt like maybe you just weren't good at something, but then someone came along to you and said, what are you talking about? You might have gotten this little part wrong, but you did all these other things just so wonderfully with such grace, such beauty. And here in this moment, what you're doing is you're realizing that you're seeing it in a way that's false. So, our feelings must be indulged or satisfied. That is not true. And we need to evaluate those thoughts, those feelings, and ask, are they true? On the other side, the cold side, this is what is has been common. This is the kind of church that I grew up in. And perhaps some of you did as well. There was an idea that our feelings must be ignored or abolished. That any kind of emotional response to something was negative. You know, in church, you were only allowed to stand and sing, and then you must sit down. There should not be a tear shed from your eye. There should be a deep inward conviction and just a joy and contentment of the Spirit, but it better not reach your face in a smile. Some of you went to the same church I did. There was a sense somehow that feelings could lead us astray, and you know what? There's a part of that that can be true. Because feelings are bad masters. But it's not that feelings need to be abolished. It's not that feelings are bad. They just need their proper place. Okay? For example, salt on your food can be great, but what if you put a whole kilogram? It's just too much. You got to have the proper amount in the proper way. It's got to have its proper place. It's not bad, it's not wrong. It's simply out of order. So these two lies are things that are common in our world, that feelings must be indulged or that feelings must be ignored, that feelings must be satisfied or that they might be abolished. And many times Christians act as if our desires are simply to be killed off and destroyed and we should have no feelings whatsoever. In fact, this is a Buddhist teaching. Buddhists believe that all of our suffering is a result of desire. And so the goal of Buddhist teaching, as I understand it, is that we are to eliminate all desire from our lives and thereby be free of suffering. Well, the problem with that, as Christians see it, is that feelings are actually created by God for good. God created them to move us, but they are not meant to be our masters. God wants us to experience delight. God wants us to experience joy and peace and love. These are parts of the human experience. And in fact, as we read the scriptures, we hear again and again how God is described as having emotions and feelings that might make you feel uncomfortable. We've already sung about it. We sang a line from the Psalms today. It says, "You are slow to anger and rich in love." See, God shows us what it means to be angry in a right way, in a good way. Most of us only know anger as a negative emotion for understandable reasons. However, you may recall in Ephesians it says, "In your anger do not sin," which leads us to believe there's a type of anger that is not sin. That we can act justly in our anger. And we know that because we see that it says that God is angry and everything God does is good. So how can anger be good? Well, it's because anger is an inward compulsion towards protecting something. It's an energy towards protecting something. Now, most of us, when we're angry, we lash out and we hurt people. We do things that are wrong. We say things that are painful. But there are times and there are moments in our lives where it is appropriate for us to be angry. When we see an injustice, when a child is being injured by another person, we should be angry that that is happening. And we should be moved to act to bring whatever freedom and rescue we can to that child. That is an appropriate emotional response to an injustice, to a situation that's wrong. You see, all of our feelings stem out of something that is good that God has placed within us. But they get a little bit disordered and wrong, okay? Now, you might start thinking of a list of emotions, and afterwards, if you want to ask me, how can that be something good? We can talk about the individual things if you need help with that. I'm not going to bother explaining that at the moment. It's just there's too many emotions to go through. But the deepest, most fundamental emotions that we have are always pointing us and giving us energy towards something good. So, we have these two lies. On the hot side, it's that we must get into it. We must be indulged or satisfied in our feelings. The other lie, though, is to be cold and to be distant, to ignore them, to abolish them, to pretend like they're a bad thing always. But instead, the truth is that our feelings must be cultivated to good. I want to remind you, when Jesus was here in human form, Jesus had emotions. Jesus had feelings. In fact, some of you, if I ask you now, what is the shortest verse of the Bible? What does it say? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. That was an appropriate emotional response to the loss of a friend of his, a friend who had died. There are appropriate emotional responses in our life that God has given us as a way to move us from where we are to somewhere else. Grief is an appropriate emotional response to a loss. And yet, if we indulge it, then we find ourselves in difficulty. And if we try to ignore it, we also find ourselves in difficulty. Instead, it needs its proper place where we cultivate it. We are wise about how we experience these feelings and what we allow them to do in our lives. So, the truth is our feelings must be cultivated to good. Let's keep moving on here. I want to show you how we cultivate these things, and it's by leaning into the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is Galatians 5, 22. 23. Galatians 5 is going to be key for us here today. We're going to have a number of verses from it. So the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, or we could say it cultivates this kind of fruit or evidence in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, especially when we think of love, joy, and peace, these are emotions that if we have them, it's a sign of God's work in our lives. God actually wants to produce emotions in us, feelings. He wants us to feel love. God wants you to feel joy. Have you ever heard a preacher say that to you before? God wants you to feel joy. God wants you to experience peace. See, these are things that when the Holy Spirit is in our lives, we know in a deep and abundant way. There's going to be things that challenge that in our lives, in our broken world, absolutely. But these are things that God wants to bring about in our lives by His presence in the Holy Spirit. And look at that last word, self-control. What the Holy Spirit is going to allow you to do is to have self-control so that you don't have to indulge those negative feelings. So that you don't have to pretend like they aren't there. Instead, the Holy Spirit will give you the power and ability to act in a way that's appropriate, to have feelings that don't master you, but have feelings that move you to greater life. Let's look at the next verse. We used this a number of weeks ago, but it's important for us today. Galatians 5, 24, 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So as Christians, what we have the ability to do is to take the negative feelings, the negative desires you experience in your life, the things that you feel like they master you, that they have control over you and a power over you that you can't seem to break free from. You can take all of those things and nail them to the cross of Jesus. If there's a feeling that you have in your life that you want to be free of, consider first, what is the idea or the belief that I have that is fueling this feeling? What is the truth that I need to lean into because I'm believing something that's wrong or false and I'm allowing it to produce a feeling within me? So I want to invite you today to consider, what is that thought that I have that's wrong, that I feel like it has power over me? What's that feeling that I have that seems stronger than I can deal with? Maybe it's a lust. Maybe it's a bitterness. Maybe it's a craving for something, a drug or a food or an addiction of some kind. All of these things are born out of desires in our hearts. And what's amazing to me again and again is often they are born out of good desires placed in the wrong things, placed in the wrong people. So we feel like, well, God wants me to experience joy, but we go looking for it in things that are not God. We go looking for it in a drug or a liquid or something we inject or in a person that we don't even know that will share our bed. We go looking for it in ways that actually, even though we're pursuing happiness, produce sadness in our lives. But instead, what we can do, we have the power, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to actually crucify those negative things in our lives. We have the ability as followers of Jesus to nail those things to the cross and see them die so that we have power over them by the power of Christ. Now I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable for a moment. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about what it is that thought or that feeling is that you want to be free from. What I'm going to invite you to do is not something magical, but it's a symbolic action that some of you will want to take part in. I'm giving you an opportunity here today. Now, you might not have noticed it when you came in, but I've got this wooden cross here lying on the floor on the stage. In a little while, 10, 15 minutes, we're going to be celebrating communion. When we get to that moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to nail something to this cross that you want to crucify. Because as I read this scripture, it says that those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. As I read that, I say, have I nailed whatever passions and desires are in my heart, have I nailed them to the cross? And that's not usually a literal thing. But today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. Some of you don't want to. Some of you can't think of something. But some of you know you've got something you want to nail to the cross. I'm going to give you a chance to do that. So I'm going to be keeping going, but I'm going to start passing something around here. I've got these golf pencils, so you can write something. And I've got these pieces of paper. What I'm going to do is just, you pass the box around, pass them, make sure whenever it gets to the other side, do whatever you need to. You can write something down. Fold it over, crumple it up so no one else can see it if you need to do that. I don't care. This isn't between you and somebody else beside you. This is about between you and God. I'm going to be the first one to do it. And what you're going to have the opportunity to do is to take that negative thought or feeling, and when you come forward for communion, you can put a nail through it and put it to the cross. And you can trust that if you've really given it to God, He's going to help you have power over it. It's not going to take much to put that in there. You don't need to be whacking away at it, but if you want to, you can. I don't care. Hit it for all it's worth. Nail that thing to the cross so it doesn't fall off. Because Jesus is going to give you power over it. Now, this is not some magical act, okay? It's not like if you just do this, then suddenly you're going to be free of it from ever, but it's a symbol for you that you can remember how God's going to give you freedom. And you can look back on this moment in this day. So I'll just pass it around. You can take a pencil if you need, a piece of paper. If you don't want that one, I totally understand, but my goodness, don't miss this opportunity if you need it. What you're tangibly going to do in this moment is you're going to nail this thing, you're going to let it go, and then you're going to go and you're going to pick up the communion elements. See, what you're going to be tangibly doing in this moment is you're going to be letting go of that thing that is killing you and robbing you of life, and you're going to be holding on to, clinging to Jesus, clinging to the life that's in Him alone. All right, so you can be thinking about that as I keep going here. But we have the opportunity to take whatever sinful nature, whatever desires, passions that we have, whatever emotions are burdening us, maybe it's even grief. Maybe there's something you're having a hard time letting go and you just need to give it to God today. Now's your opportunity to do that. In the next verses here, I want to show you from 5:16 and 17. Say, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So as followers of Christ, what we're going to do is we're going to take those negative thoughts, we're going to take those negative feelings, we're going to give them to Jesus. We're going to fix them to His cross. And what He is going to do is give us the power of His Holy Spirit to have new desires that grow up and crowd out those old desires. Now, it's not going to happen right away for some of you. Some of you are going to say, my goodness, well, it's Monday. Why am I still desiring that thing? Why am I still craving it? Keep leaning in to Jesus. Keep leaning into His Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, guiding you, empowering you. Keep leaning into that. And when He says something to you, do it. Keep letting Him guide every part of your life. Don't hold back. Don't say, well, it wasn't solved in a day, so I guess that's it. That was enough of that Jesus stuff. That's enough of that Holy Spirit stuff. Keep going. Fix your thoughts. Fix your ideas on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on the things that are good, noble, and true, as we said last week. And the more that we do that, the more that we treasure the things of God, the more that we find ourselves in His truth, the more that He will produce in us love, joy, peace, and that self-control that we desperately need. God has placed within your heart desires that He wants to satisfy. And we need to seek Him to satisfy our hearts, our minds, our souls. It's only until we seek Him above all else that we're going to begin to experience that kind of satisfaction. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, but the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite. We have here the opportunity to lean into the greatest power and resource there is in the universe. It's a gift to us that we could have life. So that's our invitation today. Let's keep going. This is Philippians 4:8. These, and I want to show you just two verses we looked at last week, and these were about fixing our thoughts in the right places. But the more that we do that, the more that we're going to find that it crowds out the negative, that it crowds out the negative feelings and emotions as well. So fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, I want you to just to think for a moment. Have you ever seen an elite athlete listening to music before a game or before a performance of some kind? Why is that? It's because what we fix our thoughts on, it produces action. It produces this feeling within us. It produces a focus. So when we focus ourselves on things that are true and good, it produces an energy for us, a feeling that leads us into greater truth and greater good. But when we fix our thoughts on things that are negative and destructive, that's where we head. Last week I said, where we look is where we're going to go. You know what it's like to maybe listen to, you know, I was going back this summer. I thought, I'm going to go back and listen to some of the music I used to listen to in high school. And I was listening to, like, Nirvana and Metallica and Soundgarden. And some of you guys know those names. Some of you doesn't mean anything to you. But I listened to this music and I thought, oh my goodness, I must have been so depressed in high school. There was no happy music. There was no... And I realized that that whole time I had been fueling that kind of emotion in my life and in my mind. And it wasn't until later when I began to listen to more music that had a positive sense, and there was still a lot of energy to it, but it was more, I realized, yeah, that actually produced a greater sense of joy and happiness in my life. Some of you know what that experience is like through music. But whatever it is that we fix our thoughts on, it will produce a feeling in us. So we need to make sure that we're fixing our thoughts on things that are true. Things that will produce the kind of results in us that we want to see. So then the next again that I want to remind you of is this next verse from Isaiah 26:3. You, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So if you want this kind of peace in your life, fix your thoughts on God. If you want to experience that joy, that love, fix your thoughts on God. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, He's going to keep strengthening you, compelling you as you move towards that in greater and greater regard. And now this next and final verse here. This is Jesus speaking in John 14:26-7. And it's speaking here again of the importance of the Holy Spirit to produce something within us. Listen carefully to what Jesus is saying. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So the job of the Holy Spirit is primarily just to keep pointing us back to Jesus and what Jesus has taught. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, listen, as Jesus is talking about what the gift of the Holy Spirit is, He's talking about it in emotional language. He's offering us a sense of peace where we don't have to be troubled, we don't have to be afraid. He's telling us that this is something that the world can't give us. Because the world doesn't have power over its own desires. The only way that you're going to have power over those negative desires and compulsions within your life, within those feelings that overwhelm you, is to give them to Jesus. To give them to the Lord and allow Him to deal with them. To allow Him to produce in you something new, something greater, something good. And as we do, we're going to have that gift, a gift of peace, of mind and heart, allows us to not feel troubled or afraid even when things are very difficult in the circumstances around us. What an incredible gift that we're being offered here in Christ. And so now, as we're coming now to this moment of communion, I want to explain just how it's going to work for us, and then we'll pray and we'll do the song. Because I want you to not miss this. The world has a lot to offer, but what it doesn't have is a peace that endures through a storm. What it doesn't have is a joy that goes beyond our circumstances. What it doesn't offer us is how to be content when we have nothing. And Jesus here offers us a peace of mind and a peace of heart. And we're going to do that by leaning into Him in a really tangible way. So in a moment, I'm going to pray, and the worship team is going to start playing this song. If you haven't already, take a moment to write something on that paper if you'd like to. As we play the song, I'm going to invite you to come forward. The hammer is here, the nails are here. And you can nail something to this cross. Don't worry if there's a line behind you. You don't need to feel rushed. If you hit your thumb, just keep going. Well, not on the thumb. That's not what I meant. Get that thing attached and then step to the side. We're gonna move the cups and the things so that there's some bread and cup on either side. So come down the center. Go to one of the tables, either side, whichever you want to go to, whichever aisle you're from. Take some of the bread, take some of the cup. Hold on to it. You've been holding on to the word for a while. You've been holding on to the feeling for a while. Hold on to Jesus for a moment. When we're done the song, I'm going to say a few words to you. And then we're going to consume it all together at once. Make sense? So we're going to do a tangible act where we lean into it. This is just symbolic, where we're experiencing the real presence of Jesus. So I'm inviting you to do that. If you don't want to nail something to the cross, that's fine. But now's your opportunity if you want to do that. If you don't want to nail something, you can still take communion, still have your seat, still wait. And if you're not willing to take part in communion today, or you don't feel like you want to do that, or you just aren't sure what it's about, that's fine too. You can just stay in your seat as we sing. But you've got an opportunity today to experience the real life of Jesus, invading your own and producing something greater and new, a new beginning for you. So let's pray, and then we'll begin to sing. Jesus, we thank you that in you there is life, and by your Holy Spirit there is power over the things of this world that seem too big for us. In fact, they are. That we don't need to be overwhelmed by these things. We don't need to be troubled. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be burdened in a way that is beyond our ability to overcome. Instead, we can turn these things over to you. We can trust you and know your peace. We can fix our thoughts on the true things of this world that you've created. We can fix our thoughts on the things that are good and pure that will produce in us a greater and greater desire for more things that are good and true. More things that are godly and like you, that produce in us a heart that is like yours. Help us to trust you in that way, to know your life living within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God our Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.